Welcome to page 46. We're finally talking about David's covenant and about David's sin, which happens right after. So David's covenant is found in 2 Samuel 7, and it's labeled just God's promise to David because it is a covenant. It's an everlasting covenant, as a matter of fact. But it, like I said in the earlier recording, it doesn't have the glamour and glitz of the Mosaic covenant, and it doesn't have like the intentional covenant-making ceremonial part of Abraham's covenant. This one is different. It's really about David's son. And here is kind of the verses for it. 2 Samuel 7:12, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son." So do you hear those three promises? I will establish, he will establish my temple. He'll build a house for my name, temple. I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever, so he'll reign forever, and he will be my son. This is exciting, especially the sonship part. That brings us all the way back to Adam. Adam was the son of God, but Adam had fallen from grace and stepped out of his relationship with God. And so now there's this renewal that we're going to be back close to God in a family-type relationship. With the golden calf incident and the whole establishment of the Levites, the Israelites essentially were reduced to servants. Their sonship priesthood status was really rejected. They rejected it, and they were stripped of the privileges of priesthood, sonship, stuff like that. These are restored fully through Jesus, but a little bit here through David. We see when Saul, one of Saul's major sins is acting like a priest. It's a sin. But when David acts as a priest in 2 Samuel 6 by bringing in the ark, it's actually okay. Because he's actually from Judah. He's the bloodline king. He's restoring the Melchizedek priestly line in Jerusalem, which is where Melchizedek was king of. Priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. Psalm 110:4. So David actually kind of restores being a priest back. He is, he gets us back in his covenant. Okay. Just like the other covenants being broken shortly after they're made, such as, you know, Hagar through for Abraham, the golden calf for Moses, the sketchy tent situation for Noah, David sins right after the covenant as well. And David's sin goes down in history. It's famous. His, adultery with Bathsheba, but there's a little bit more to it. We're going to kind of peek into it. This all happens in 2 Samuel 11, and then 12 is where he realizes what he's done and repents. So the first problem is that there's a war going on and David's not there. He has done a lot of military conquest in his military career, and he's staying home. He's relaxing. And when he's home, he kind of gets himself into an occasion of sin and ends up making a terrible decision. If he had been in battle with his men, this never would have happened. So kind of similar to Adam, Adam never would have had to, you know, have the original sin problem if Adam had just protected the garden in the first place and been doing what he was supposed to be doing. There would be no opportunity for sin. So we, as Catholics, call this a near occasion of sin. So if we can avoid a near occasion of sin, then we don't have to actually worry about doing the sin in general. Anyways, I digress. Problem number two is that he saw Bathsheba on her roof bathing, and he lusted after her. Now, it's one thing to see somebody and to say, oh my goodness, that's all, you know, I'm attracted, and now I'm going to remove myself from the situation. But he lusts after her, and he calls her to his house, and he sleeps with her. We don't really know Bathsheba's whole disposition here. She's a married woman. We can assume she didn't necessarily want to do this, but it doesn't imply that he raped her in any way. But anyways, he does kind of, he's the king, he gets what he wants type of thing. Now, interestingly, Bathsheba was bathing in the first place, according to Mosaic law, Leviticus 15, 19 through 24, because she was about to ovulate, okay? She's washing herself because she was just unclean, and now she is ovulating, so she conceives this baby. Now that she knows she's pregnant, she goes to David and says, I'm pregnant, and he tries to hide it. He's like, okay, no problem. Let's get your husband to come home and sleep with you so it's easy to pass off this baby as your husband's. It'll be our little secret. But he brings the husband home. Uriah is a military guy as well, and Uriah is an honorable man. And he chooses to not sleep with his wife to be in solidarity with the men who he left on the field. So David brings him home, gets him drunk, tries to get him to sleep with his wife, and he refuses. He sleeps on the floor. So he knows that he didn't sleep with his wife, so if his wife is pregnant, he would know that it's not his child. So David's like, shoot, I can't do the easy way. I've got to do the hard way. So he ends up getting Uriah killed. He asks his military generals, he commands them to leave Uriah in the front by himself so that Uriah is directly in the line of fire, and Uriah dies. Then David takes Bathsheba into his own home to become one of his many wives. That baby that they conceive there does die, but Solomon is their next child, and Solomon is the next king of Israel. So David does repent. He does repent, but his punishment involves like violence and sexual transgression in his own house. It's like he has turned onto his own house violence and sexual transgression because this is what he has done, violence and sexual transgression. We see this pretty soon after, starting in chapter 13, this one of the sons of David. Now David has many wives, many children. This is one of them, Amnon. He rapes his half-sister, Tamar. Okay, and David doesn't punish Amnon for his deed. So another son of David, named Absalom. Absalom is direct siblings with Tamar. Tamar is his sister, and Tamar is the one who was raped by their half-brother Amnon. I know lots of names, lots of confusing. Absalom is enraged that David would not punish his son. So Absalom murders him, and then he drives David out of Jerusalem, and then he kind of throws a coup and starts to gather people who will support his kingship instead of David's son, whichever David's son is up for, you know, the kingship first. Maybe it's Absalom, maybe it's not, but David eventually is going to give the kingship to Solomon. At this point, David hasn't given it to anybody yet. So Absalom is like trying to throw a coup, and it's pretty bad. In 2 Samuel 18, Absalom meets a very bitter end. He actually gets his hair caught in a tree and is stuck there, and so the officer of David comes and finds him and kills him, is able to catch him because his hair is stuck in a tree. So anyways, after that, they started wearing their hair short. Just kidding, that's a joke. So that child, like I said, I know I've repeated it a few times, but that child is not Solomon that they originally conceived. The second son is Solomon, and he ends up being king next.